getting the heads up from him as well. Sorry, I'm talking to two of you here. My lucky day. Here we go. Welcome to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Democratic Representative Tim Melton of Pontiac. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Wanted to talk to you after a bill introduced by you about teacher evaluation. It's kind of an interesting concept here and wanted to discuss it with you. Tell me about the bill.
Well, it's not just teacher evaluations, it's also principal evaluations.
Thank you for that correction. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's good. Because sometimes we kind of focus on the teacher, but in reality, the principals have a lot of responsibility in dealing with the evaluations in the current system. So we want to create a system that's a little bit more accountable. And one of the problems right now is that we don't actually have a tool that identifies if a teacher is effective or ineffective. So what we want to do in the premise of this bill is to start using data, value-added growth data, and add that into the component of evaluation. And what we say in our bill is that 50% of student evaluations going forward should be using data, and 66% of a principal's evaluation going forward should be using the value-added data. And we think that will give us a more clear definition, a more objective criteria, and less of a subjective criteria when we're actually doing the evaluation.
What does the current law say about a teacher and principal evaluations?
Well, it's all done at the local level. We passed a bill I passed in 2009, just mandated that teachers and principals both be evaluated annually and that a significant portion of that evaluation be student data. But it never ever outlined how much or what the type of the data should be or a tool. So what these bills also do, it creates a governor's council, and the governor's council will have about a year to create a default evaluation tool for the state. So districts that don't have their own evaluation tool, they can use the state's default tool, and the governor's council can also approve the local tools that are being used.
Now, this builds kind of then off of the 2009 legislation that you put through?
Yes, it's kind of a follow-up to the Race to the Top legislation, and it's also working in conjunction with the recent tenure reform bills that passed the House and are sitting in the Senate right now. So this sort of goes hand in hand. And to be honest with you, we wish before the 10-year bills would have passed, this bill would have been passed first. So what the 10-year bills did in conjunction will, disband the use of seniority as the primary factor when you're doing placement for teachers or reduction in workforce. It should be, is a teacher effective or not? So these sort of go hand in hand together.
Well, and that is another subject I wanted to talk with you. But moving along with this, having student achievement be a significant part of teacher evaluations, it seems logical. Has this not been done routinely in the past, or it just hasn't been outlined as succinctly?
No, I think the problem is people define significant in a different way. Some people will say significant means 10%. Some will say it's 5, and some may say it's 50. So there is no real standard bearer across the state of what significant means. So that's why we put in 50%. And I'll tell you, Michigan's not the first state to do this. Several states, being Delaware, Tennessee, Colorado, New Hampshire, Florida, have already went this route and created a line in the sand and said, from now on, we're going to create a tool that does say if teachers are effective or ineffective, and the majority of that decision is going to be based on using growth data, value-add data on the teacher.
Can you, and if this is not a good question, I apologize, can you tell me what growth data is or what it's compiled of?
Yeah, well, part of it will be state assessment tests. It'll be a small portion, most likely, and it will take into account local assessment tests. Typically, it's beginning, mid, and end year, so you'll have some raw data, which is simple growth, but then it takes into characteristics like socioeconomic status, what's happening in the school, where the school started from. So there's been a common misconception that, if a kid doesn't or a student doesn't grow just a flat 1 year, or if they are behind, it's going to be more difficult. Actually, the kids that are farther behind have more likelihood of growth under this scenario because it does take all the characteristics into place. And then they use analytical people to come in and actually study the data to come up with a formula that actually works. So it's not just, test A to test B. That's a small component of what goes into this. And there's experts in the field that actually will come into Michigan. It says that in the bill, actually, that this governor's council will have to get input The advice from these national experts that do this for a living.
This sounds very comprehensive and way beyond what's been done in the past in this area.
It is. Yeah, that's a fair assessment. But to be honest with you, the state's been way behind. And this is, we're doing a lot of catch-up right now. Like I said, we wish we could have got this legislation enacted back in 2009 when we did the Race to the Top reforms, but we got a lot of special interest pushback. We got through at that point what we could. So we've actually been working on this for the last 3 years, and now I think we're in a position that, you know, people have bought into it, they understand it, and in light of these recent tenure reforms, we want to protect good teachers. I mean, the fact of the matter is right now, 99% of the teachers all receive the highest category of rating, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, that's not good for the good teachers. There's no differential. So we really do need to identify who are the effective, who are the highly effective, and who are the ineffective. And, you know, the ones that are not performing properly, we need to get them the proper professional development. If everyone's receiving the same the same rating, we don't know who needs the help and who doesn't. This will help identify them. It mandates that if a teacher is ineffective, that they have to be given professional development. They have to create an individual development plan, and they will be judged on that individual plan after, you know, halfway through the year for a progress report, and at the end of the year as well.
You mentioned that you wish this had gone through before when you worked on this legislation, perhaps in 2009. Is part of the atmosphere with Governor Snyder's ideas about school reform, is that part of what is making this a little easier now, or is that completely unrelated?
I think there's a piece of it. You know, he certainly set some high standards, and I'm a Democrat, so, you know, I'm encouraged by some of the things on the educational front that the governor has pushed. I don't agree with him 100%. But, you know, having both legislative branches being Republican on this issue, it certainly has helped push the ball down the court, for sure.
What you talked about pushback in the past working on some of this. What is the pushback you're hearing now, if you are any, and what do the teachers think of it that you've spoken with?
Well, the teachers that I actually speak with support it. Teacher unions, on the other end, aren't necessarily supported because of the unknown. So when you actually sit down and explain to a teacher what we're actually trying to accomplish, they like it. If they just get the sound bites, you know, and they just get maybe a memo from, you know, one of their special interest groups or just said, hey, this is bad, you know, they don't support it. But once you actually sit down and have a conversation with them, they like the concept because, you know, they understand that the current system's broken. I mean, we're not removing ineffective teachers. And most of the time in the school building, it's the teachers that know who the good teachers are and who the bad teachers are. And, you know, they want some different, they want to be treated the best teacher in the school building. They should be recognized. So that's kind of the feedback I'm getting, actually. And I'll tell you this, I haven't received one email, one phone call, one text message from one single parent in the state that says they want ineffective teachers in their child's classroom. So when I look at it from that perspective, I know we're on the right track, that the only resistance that I have heard are from people in the profession that actually don't have all the facts about the legislation.
Well, you mentioned, of course, that the teacher tenure bills, as those are going through it, and those are heading the right direction as well in your viewpoint in changing how we perhaps evaluate?
Yes, and I voted for all four of those bills in the House. I was one of the few Democrats that I thought it was certainly the right direction to go, and I come from a district like that has, you know, the Pontiac schools in it, and we've seen some struggle, and we want to, you know, have the opportunity to get rid of the teachers that need to be getting rid of, but we also want to reward the teachers that are the best. We just had a teacher recognition dinner. We had the top 20% of our teachers in our district. We use data to evaluate them, and we recognize them. We want to give them opportunities for advancement and also for mentoring the other teachers. So those tenure bills, I mean, that, I don't think anybody in the state believes that the current tenure system is working. I mean, it takes over a year to remove an ineffective teacher. It costs the districts hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees in some cases. So the current system is broken, and this is the best proposal that's out there. And using seniority, I mean, the perfect example is you may be the best teacher in the world. I mean, the absolute best in the world and have 25 year seniority, and they're in the same building, there could be the worst teacher in the world that has 26-year seniority. And when it comes to reduction in workforce, they keep the teacher that's been there 26 years, who's the worst. And it's broken. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't. And it also, it sounds like that this kind of data-driven levels the playing field.
It does, but and again, what we're trying to get to is a more objective mm-hmm. criteria for evaluation. So it's not so we can take away, well, the principal doesn't like me, or the superintendent doesn't like me, or you know, there's a personality conflict. We want it to be based on, are they actually adding value to the classroom? Are the kids learning? We also, you know, exempt from the data stream, you know, kids that haven't been in the classroom for 15% of the time. So if there's attendance issues, I mean, obviously, I don't want to, you know, rate a teacher on a child that's not in the classroom. We also allow a teacher to give the ability to exempt a child under extraordinary circumstances. If, you know, there's a family crisis and the child wasn't necessarily, you know, attuned to learning at that point. So we do create some exemptions for the data. But for the most cases, it's going to be based on, are the kids actually, you know, attaining the proper education during that classroom period?
Well, it's obviously a very comprehensive bill on teacher and principal reform and evaluation. And I appreciate so much your walking us through this tonight. Thank you so much for your time
evening.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Thanks
you as well. We've been speaking with Democratic Representative Tim Melton of Pontiac. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.